That's why slowing down teaching this prayer is so important. Because when the disciples asked Jesus how to pray, and Jesus said, say these words, it must be important. So we need to understand at least at some level what these words mean. So that when we pray them, we mean them. We slow down enough to mean them, and they're coming out of a heart of righteousness. Amen. So we can pray them in faith, because these things are real. And all the things that we've talked about this are so true and much more. Because all I've done is talk to you from my limited understanding of these things and my limited understanding of Scripture. So it's important that we get it, and that when we pray it, we understand what we're praying. Because it matters. All the things that we're praying actually happen. So we just read through it again so you'll get the context. Pray then in this way. Our Father, who is in heaven, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If I were teaching this to a whole new group, one of the fun things about teaching at Christ the King is I don't have to lay a lot of groundwork. We've been together for so many years, I can just jump in there and add to what's been said. When I go somewhere else, I've been here for so long, when I go somewhere else and do a conference or speak somewhere, I have to be really careful that I don't say too much, because I feel like I have to start from the beginning, 20-something years, and so that can end up being really long sermons. So, but if I were speaking to a group and I was going to say this to them, because one of the things that gets our attention about this scripture, but he says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, that you and I never, ever forget that evil is real.
Yep.
And that evil exists in this world. When he says, deliver us from evil, the way it should be translated, and people do it one of two ways, without going to a bunch of explanation, it could be interpreted, and deliver us from the evil, like just the evil that's present in this world. Or it also could be translated, and deliver us from the evil one. So he's covering all bases in the scripture and in this prayer. Deliver us from the demonic and the demonic attacks that we experience, and also deliver us from the evil that's in this world as a result of man's fall. The evil around us, the evil that's within me in my own fallenness, deliver me from evil and deliver me from the evil one. That's why I say it's a prayer. This part of the prayer is about victory over sin, and it's also about freedom from demonic attack and protection from a demonic attack. Let me read a few scriptures to you. Now, I'm not saying anything to you don't know, but it's always good to be reminded. Galatians chapter 1, verse 3 and 4. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver, there's that word again, deliver us from out of this evil, present evil age. And what he says about this present age that we live in, there's something evil about it. There's evil present.
Amen.
In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Well, I'll start with verse 15. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise people, but as wise, making the most of your time, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Listen to this, and this will bring it home more than just we're living in this sort of evil age, or there's evil around us. There's evil present in the world. Listen again to what he says in Romans chapter 7 about us. We know that the law is spiritual, but I am of flesh, sold into bondage to sin. For that which I am doing, I do not understand, for I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the thing I hate. But if I do the thing I hate, I do the thing I do not wish to do, I, in my inner man, agree with the law, confessing that it's good. So no longer is it I, the one doing it, but sin which indwells me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is in my flesh. Paul didn't say there was anything good about him. We're new creations. But there's something wrong with my flesh. It's not been redeemed yet. my flesh, this humanity, this outer man. He says, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that in my flesh the wishing is present in me, the doing good is not. For the good that I wish I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish. If I'm doing the very thing that I do not wish, I'm no longer doing it, but sin which indwells me." Then this is what I want you to hear. "I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who really wants to do good. Not just present in the world, but because it's present in the world, as well as the fall, it's also present in my humanity, in my flesh." 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. It's really significant scripture. He says, "In order that no advantage be taken of us by Satan, for we are not ignorant of his schemes." But the reality is, most of us are ignorant of his schemes. And most of us don't seem to get that there's evil in the world. We've talked about this in the past, that we're born into what? A world at war. We're born into a world at war. We're called every day to walk out our faith and our love for Jesus in the crucible of a winner-takes-all cosmic conflict. Now, I know I've said this to you in the past, but hear it again. We're called to walk out our faith and our love for Christ every day in the crucible under the pressure of a winner-takes-all cosmic conflict. We may think we can afford to play at Christianity and to play at holiness, but I can tell you the enemy's not playing.
Amen.
He's in it to win. And to him, it's a winner-takes-all. And it would be nice if Christians would be just as serious about the battle as he is.
Amen.
1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, "Be sober and be on the alert, for the devil is like a what? Roaring lion, prowling about, looking whom he may devour." Not nibble at. Winner takes all. Devour. Swallow up and destroy. I read this. This is a real familiar one. This is from Ephesians chapter 6. "Finally, be strong in the Lord and the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil." But again, that 2 Corinthians passage says it's important that we're not ignorant of the schemes or the wiles of the devil. But it's amazing how much time Christians spend going, "I don't know what's going on. It's just been a really tough day. Or it's really been a tough few days. Or it's just been a tough time. And I don't know what's happening." And what we end up doing is we end up being converted into this introspective monster. Now, there are obviously, we can be going through a tough time because there are things that God wants us to repent of. The Holy Spirit loves us, and he's a convictor of sin. And he's faithful and just, not just to forgive us, but to show us. The word to confess means to agree with. I can't confess something he hasn't shown me. Now, he can't show me if I'm not willing to hear. But if my heart's not hardened, and I really want to be absolutely and totally consecrated to him, he'll show me. And so when I go through stuff, it's important that your first response is, "Lord, what is it you want to show me here? Is there something in my life you want to deal with? Is there something I need to repent of?" But if he doesn't, then we need to stop the crazy introspection and come to grips with, we're in a world at war. And often you and I can't understand our own lives, because we don't remember what's at stake and what's going on here. You hear what I'm saying to you? We walk around confused about what's wrong simply because we forget that we live in an evil, present evil age. "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, principalities, world forces, this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." And the King James is our warfare, but you already said they call it our struggle. Even though God's called us to walk in freedom and victory, it's a war. We're born into a world at war.
Amen.
And he says this in verse 13. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Now, is he telling the Ephesians that, you know, when Jesus comes, or when the Antichrist manifests himself, that's the evil day? Well, it didn't help them much because they died before it happened, or every other generation since then. What he's saying is very simple. We're in a struggle, and there are just some days that are more evil than other days. Haven't you discovered that to be true? It just seems like sometimes there's a full moon that's risen in our heart, and something's wrong. Why wasn't it this bad a week ago? You know, what's going on here? Is it, well, I'm just struggling with depression, or I'm just this. And why can't we ever come to grips with, we're in a world at war, and some days are evil. And if all we do is try to do battle in the area of the flesh, trying to figure out what's going on, we may lose that battle for days and days and weeks and months when we didn't have to. We need to wake up to God's psychology, huh, Dr. Reynolds? Isn't that true? It's impossible to explain abnormal human behavior without understanding the issue of sin and the devil and evil in this world. It's impossible. You end up groping in the darkness. Here's a little short poem I want you to remember. You will never know what prayer is for until you know that life is war. This whole thing about setting us free and being delivered is in the context of a prayer. The Lord's Prayer is serious business. It makes a big difference in my life and in the lives of those I'm praying for. Because every time I pray the prayer, and I mean it, and I pray it in faith, because everything in the Christian life has to be by faith.
Amen.
When I pray this prayer in faith, it matters in my life, and it matters in your life. You'll never know what prayer is for until you know that life is war.
Amen.
The word the devil, devil, diabolos, comes from two words. Bolos, to throw. And dia, which means over or across. And it has both of those meanings. To throw over means to fool you. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a guerrilla fighter. It's one of the reasons this prayer is so powerful. It covers everything. He's a guerrilla fighter. One writer says, the devil's boots don't squeak or creak. He sneaks up. He deceives. But the word also means to throw across. As if you... I remember, unfortunately, there are some memories that you wish you didn't remember, you know? And there was a... When we lived, when I was like 13, 14 years old, 12, 13, 14 years old, above my house, the street that went up came to a stop sign, and then the neighborhood stopped, and it went straight up this long hill, and it went down to the circle, went up to two dead ends, and it took them for 10 years to ever build houses there. I don't know what the deal was. So, teenagers who could drive would go up there and park. There were no street lights or anything, and a couple times a night, police would raid it, you know. But me and my friends thought that would be a cool place to have fun. And what we would do is they'd go up there and park, and then we'd build a roadblock in the road. Or we'd pull a tree that we'd cut down the day before out of the woods, because there were woods everywhere across the road. Then we'd throw rocks or do something crazy. We even, like this one hill went way down far, and we'd get a tire and roll it down the hill. And of course, whatever it is they were doing in the car, it disturbed them. Because it would knock their car. And then they would start their car up to come chasing us. And of course, as they chased us, they would run into the roadblock or the tree. And that kind of thing. And literally, we almost got killed several times. And it was stupid. But it definitely prevented them from moving, proceeding in the path that they intended to go in. And what the devil does, what sin is about, what the demonic is about, is to throw something across the path to stop you in your tracks from proceeding in God's purposes and plans for you. It's a serious thing. So we understand who we're dealing with. And we understand what we're dealing with. Because sin is simply his inside man. Flesh, the law of sin that lives in my members, is the demonic, the devil's inside man. So he can work his purposes in my life from the inside out. Then there's the outside attack from the demonic. Okay? That's why this prayer is so important and so significant. C.S. Lewis says this: the enemy will not see you vanish into God's company without an effort to reclaim you. And that's the truth. Now, the prayer itself. And there's some confusion about this, so I'm going to do what I can by God's grace to help explain to you what it's saying, what it's not saying. It says, "And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, James chapter 1, verse 13 says, God is not tempted and he tempts no man. Remember that scripture? And so, this doesn't seem to make a lot of sense because he asked the Lord, don't lead us into temptation. And yet, James says that God can't tempt us. But remember what the scripture doesn't say, God, and do not tempt us. It says, do not lead us into temptation. Without spending a whole lot of time, what he's basically saying here, and what he's saying is explained by the second phrase, and I'll show you that in just a minute. But what he's basically saying here is, Lord, keep me from falling into sin today. Lord, keep me from giving into temptation. I read one guy, this whole big study, it's not saying that God don't lead us to temptation, because temptation is part of our walk. It's going to happen. Even Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us, yet without sin. But what he's praying here is, Lord, lead us not into temptation. And this guy's example was a classic one. It was written like in the 30s. And so he said, think of a man who had been an alcoholic. And yet he was fighting the good fight to stay free. And he worked at a mill. And every day he had to walk home. And every day that he walked home, he walked by the old familiar bar that he used to spend so much time with. And it was the only way home. So there's no way for him to not be confronted with temptation. But what we pray is that he won't enter into temptation.
Good word.
You with me?
Amen.
The idea here is being immersed to embrace temptation. That's what the word here is. To embrace it. Everybody gets tempted. Again, Jesus himself was tempted, yet without sin. One of the things, again, we have to not be confused about, the thing that temptation is sin. And often we beat ourselves up because thoughts pass through our head that we thought we'd never have again, or certainly not Christ-like, and we think that we're terrible people, and the enemy trips us up as one of his schemes and gets us into guilt and shame and self-hatred. That's not sin. If Jesus was tempted in every way like unto us, and we talked about this during Lent, what did that look like? Every one of you think of, if we could project on the screen everything that you've been tempted with and every thought you've been tempted with just today, all of us would be really embarrassed. It would cover a long gamut of things. But Christ was tempted in every way like unto us. Yet he was holy. He was without sin. We're going to get tempted. That's part of the deal. But the prayer is, don't let me fall into the temptation.
Amen.
Don't let me fall into sin. Now, the song, the Sermon on the Mount itself defines to us what sin is. It's not our definition. Well, Lord, I didn't hit him. Jesus said, but if you wanted to hit him really bad, if you hated him in your heart, it doesn't matter that you didn't commit murder. You've murdered them in your heart. Well, Lord, I didn't have an affair with them. Did you lust in your heart? C.S. Lewis says this, I love it. He says, I'll read it to you. He said, if you look upon ham and eggs with lust, you have already committed breakfast in your heart. Isn't that good? So it's not about not just doing external things. It's about heart righteousness. So the prayer is, about delivering us, not just from these activities, but our hearts, setting our hearts free from sin. That's why it's so powerful in the context of the Sermon on the Mount. And lead us not into temptation. But now hear the explanation. Here's what that means. But deliver us from evil. Remember, I told you that the passage in Matthew is longer than the one in Luke, because Matthew has a tendency to sort of explain Jesus, but in Luke he just gives him the bare bones prayer. He says, in Matthew, our Father who art in heaven. And Luke goes, Father, hallowed be thy name. Matthew goes, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Then he explains it. Thy will be done on earth as in heaven. But the Luke passage just says, Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. Doesn't put thy will be done on earth as in heaven, but Matthew does because it explains what it means for thy kingdom to come. Now this is the same, and forgive us our sins, for yourself also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. But then the Matthew passage says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. But the Luke passage just says, and lead us not into temptation. And that's where it ends. So obviously, the addition in the Matthew passage is an explanation of what that word means. What does that phrase mean? Lead us not into temptation. You know what it means? Very simple. Just like, thy kingdom come, what does that mean? It means thy will be done on earth just like it is in heaven. Well, lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? It means God deliver us from evil. You hear me?
Amen.
Deliver us from evil. That's what the prayer means. I think we're actually going to finish. Several things about this I think that are pretty cool. Evidently, it must work. Jesus wouldn't be playing games with his disciples. That when I pray the Lord's Prayer, all these things that I've said to you, I believe are true. And this one's true too. Therefore, how many of us haven't struggled with sin in our lives? In light of the fact that we all have struggled with sin in our lives because there's an evil principle that lives in our flesh. Even though our heart wants to do God's will, there is in our flesh this thing that pulls at us, like a gravitational pull. The Lord's Prayer is one of those divine weapons to help us and others walk in victory over sin and to be protected from the demonic. Lead us not into temptation. What does that mean? It means, Lord, deliver me from evil today. Keep me from falling into evil. Keep me from being snared by evil. Now, there are several things that's really cool about this. One is an absolute affirmation of my weakness and my total and utter dependence on Him for victory over sin and the devil. The prayer is for God to deliver me. Doesn't say, Lord, give me a hand. Doesn't say, Lord, help me out. Doesn't say, Lord, you do part, your part, I'll do my part. Just as you receive Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Just as by faith we receive Christ as our righteousness, by faith we also receive Christ as our holiness, as our victory over sin. Thanks be to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is a great poor in spirit prayer. Deliver us from evil. Deliver us from evil. It's a crying out to God, not just in desperation, but in faith. Deliver us from evil. It's this prayer of weakness, but also utter dependence. Now hear this. God is not against us because of our sin. Did you hear me? God is not against us because of our sin. He is with us against our sin. That's what grace is all about. God is not against us because of our sin. He knows that you're dust and He understands the struggle. He knew that you were poor in spirit when He invited you in. God is not against us because of our sin, but He is with us against our sin. He wants to set us free. as we learn to practice righteousness.
Amen.
And this prayer is one of those cool weapons. All the other things that God's taught us, we're going to talk about that some Sunday. Not this, but about walking in freedom. But this is certainly one of those divine weapons. If I pay attention to what I'm praying, if I deliver and rescue this prayer from vain repetition, lead us not into temptation. Lord, don't allow me to be overwhelmed by temptation today. In the temptation, for in this world you shall have tribulation. In the temptation, Lord, today, that comes from the outside and the inside, deliver me from the evil. I know I'm going to get tempted, but keep me from falling.
Amen.
Deliver me from the evil. And the word to deliver here is a really interesting word. When he says, deliver us from evil, the word means to draw to, and the process of drawing to, you're drawing away from. This is one of those cool Jesus prayers. This is what you're praying is, Jesus, come in every temptation and draw me away and to yourself.
Amen.
That's the only way we can ever be free from sin, is Jesus draws to himself. He's our only hope, our only victory, our only strength and power over sin. Christ is our hope for holiness. Do you understand?
Amen.
Victory is a person doing what he does, delivering me moment by moment in every temptation. I've just prayed this prayer, Lord, deliver me from evil. Every time I get tempted today, every time I'm under attack today, Lord, come and draw me to yourself. And in doing that, away from the sin and from the temptation, so I don't give in to it. Draw me after you and let us run together. Song of Solomon, chapter 1. Because you see, hear this scripture. Because hear what Sid does. This is an awesome scripture in contrast to what we said. Listen to this. Let no one say when he is tempted, that I'm being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. Carried away. Then when lust is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it gives birth, brings forth death. So the temptation, the stuff on the outside, the stuff on the inside, pulls me towards it. And the word deliver us in the Lord's Prayer says, Lord, pull me away from it unto yourself. Draw me after you so that we can run together. I don't want to run with this. I want to run with you, Lord. I don't want to run with this group. I don't want to run with this thing. I don't want to run with lust. I don't want to run with fear. I don't want to run with greed. I don't want to run with pride. I don't want to run with unforgiveness. I don't want to run with bitterness and resentment and criticism and backbiting and gossip. I don't want to run. I want to run with you. Draw me after you. Good word, Gary. And let us run together.
Amen.
That's what you're praying. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. It's also, of course, a warfare prayer. It's not just a prayer, God, deliver me from sin. Draw me to yourself and come to my rescue. Because if you don't come to my rescue, I will sin. But I'm also asking the Lord to keep me from the demonic. Deliver me from the evil one. Not just the evil one's brought into the world, but deliver me from the evil one and all those that serve him. Now we come up with all these kind of warfare prayers that charismatic Christians pray, and these gyrations and stuff that gets to be really weird. And they're all prayers that you do repeat. It's an amazing thing. There are a gazillion books out there and booklets about warfare prayers that you pray for yourself, and you know, we pray the full armor of God, we do all this kind of stuff. What about the Lord's Prayer?
Perfect prayer.
Can we believe the prayer that Jesus said to pray?
Amen.
Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And in praying that prayer, I've called on God to come and to deliver me from sin when I'm being tempted.
Amen.
By His grace and power. And deliver me from the demonic when I'm being attacked and I'm confused because the author of confusion has come against me.
Amen.
But again, the neat thing about this is that every time I pray this prayer and I pray it in faith, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for Kelly. I'm praying for Greg and for Margaret and for Rich and Edith. I'm praying for Ricky. I'm praying for Roxanne. I'm praying for all of you. Now, would he tell me to pray this prayer if it didn't matter? No. It must matter. Ricky, you better be praying this prayer. Because I need you praying for me. For all these other things we've talked about. That I would hallow his name. That I would walk in the reality of the kingdom and the reign of God in my life. That I would move in personal revival. That I would experience the daily bread, God's provision in my life, and more of Jesus in my life. That I would be a person of mercy and forgiveness, and I would experience God's grace of mercy and forgiveness when I've blown it. And that God would protect me from the demonic today. And that God would deliver me from the power of sin today when I get tempted. I need you to pray for me.
Amen.
Let me just ask a simple question. Because to me this is so logical. If this is the prayer that Jesus gave them in response to them telling us, asking, Lord, teach us a prayer. If this is the prayer that Jesus gave, would Jesus lie to them?
No.
Would he deceive them or trick them? Well, then do you understand maybe why one of the assaults of the enemy has been on this prayer? And people have so disrespected this prayer because there seems to be millions and millions of Christians who pray it who don't have a clue what it means. They just say the words. Maybe the enemy has stolen the heart out of it. Well, at least they're saying the words. The people that are criticized have thrown the whole thing out. But what if we could say the words and mean them? What if we could say the words by faith? Maybe, is it possible, if this is the prayer that Jesus gave and he threw this in here, lead us not into temptation, deliver us from evil, that one of the reasons the church struggles so much in sin and under the realm, under the dominion of demonic when it's not supposed to, is because we aren't praying this prayer for each other by faith? That if every Christian who can read their Bible all over the world, the hundreds of millions of them actually read this scripture and said, wow, he really means what he says. And we actually were praying for each other, these prayers, in faith. Is it possible that the church would not be near as neurotic and broken and in bondage as it is? That the church around the world will be walking in much more freedom and victory? Absolutely.
Amen.
Or he wouldn't have given us the prayer. He wouldn't have put the us in there if it didn't matter. If you believe that we need each other as the body of Christ, this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is at the heart of it. You can do more for me than almost anything else by simply praying this prayer. Because all the other things we've talked about happens. And it matters. It helps me walk in real victory over sin. And it helps me to not give into those horrible evil days when I walk around confused, not knowing what's wrong with me. Because it helps throw away, cast off, put a protective shield around me from the demonic. So maybe there won't be quite so many evil days.
Amen.
Or maybe I'm able to stand better, as Ephesians said, in the midst of them. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
Amen.
What an amazing prayer, huh? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.